times on max, 8 times grade.
Wrong, 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 wrong.
Hey, shut up when you're talking to me, okay? Because I'm about to tear into your ass.
Wow.
Chander.
Your buddies are on crack. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And Harry Mays.
What do you think this is? Just some bozo sports radio show?
Harry, I don't know.
Tighten it up.
Chander.
Get the hell out of here, you idiot. Don't ever call my radio show again.
Ever, 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 never.
And Harry Mays.
I'm not a doctor.
And now, Chander and Harry Mays.
Get the hell off my radio show, you crumb. Damn it.
Mays and Chander are derailed.
We're live here at the Great American Pub. Your phone just ricocheted the camera. So,
it did?
Yeah, we're going to have to.
What's ricocheting?
You ever see that movie with John Lithgow and Denzel Washington?
No, we're off the rails already.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Here we are.
What do you mean ricochet?
You've never seen that movie?
No.
With Denzel Washington and John Lithgow? It might be the best Lithgow movie ever.
Well, I'm not a big Lithgow guy. I mean, I could walk down the streets of Conshohocken and half the people never even heard of fucking John Lithgow.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Here's the thing.
What is this, Third Rock from the Sun?
No, that's not his best work.
Oh,
although,
good.
I'll say this. Lithgow's like Chiklis. He doesn't have bad work. He just has ranked work. Like, the commish is still pretty good acting. Mm. If you just extract John Lithgow from Third Rock and you take away everybody else, that god-awful show, He's not bad.
Okay.
He's not terrible. I'm surprised that you've never seen Ricochet the movie.
No, I never have. I've never heard of it.
It's amazing.
Let me turn this off then if it's going to ricochet.
Yeah, well, it was more just you slamming it down here.
Sorry about
that. Yeah, and as I mentioned here, we are live at the Great American Pub.
Yeah, the pub.
And we thank the fellas here and everybody for hosting us. Now, we're not sure if we'll be welcome back.
Yeah, I don't know. We might get thrown out midstream here.
You never know. Right. Yeah. We kind of came in at a time in which it was quiet.
Right.
Chef Mike kind of snuck us in the back way.
Right, but now that you're here talking, it's not quiet anymore.
Right. I noticed that you're not as loud as me.
No.
You can.
Well, I can see.
You can get as loud.
I can.
Yeah.
But I choose not to.
Right.
That's one of the things. I was doing a broadcast at a golf tournament a few months ago, actually. And we were up by the 9th and 18th greens of this beautiful golf course. So I'm sort of doing a hushed tones type of show. And my partner, who only knows one gear, was like in hyperdrive.
Sure.
At a golf tournament. Now, it was the pro-am day, so nothing major was really on the line.
Sure.
But the caddies and the players were turning around and looking up. I'm like, who is that guy?
Now, was this your former partner?
Former partner. One of 49, by the way.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was something separate.
No.
Because you do a lot of golf things outside of our former place.
I have done some things, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know if somebody hired
you. No, this was Jason.
Okay.
And Jason's in full hockey mode.
Sure. You know, so. Well, you, I mean, I don't know. Like, of all the people that you work with, who would be most in tune with your love of golf? And this isn't going to be an interview. I'm just curious.
None.
Nobody ever played golf?
No, I mean,
did you work with Kale?
I never. Yeah, like, well, he doesn't count.
Okay.
I never did.
I'm sure
a show.
Tom Byrne plays golf.
I highly doubt it. No,
you got to stop slamming on the table. I can already tell the canvas.
All right, I would say if I did a show with Mike, it would be Mike Missinelli. But I've never done a show. With Mike.
No. I'm saying, like, of all the 49 people that you've worked with, I mean, we worked together for a brief. Month and a half, was it? 2 months?
Yeah. No, it was longer than that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I counted every day.
Every day. Well, that's what this show is designed to be. It's like, remember when Dunkin' Donuts first came out with the donut holes?
Yes.
Which was like the best part of the donut that gets taken out?
Yeah.
Well, the best part of our show was always going off the rails.
Well, yeah, and it didn't make it past the editing room floor most of the time.
No. Well, if it did, it got yanked back pretty fast.
Right. I'll kindly delete that half hour from the podcast, please. Yeah.
I noticed that stuff didn't make the podcast.
I know.
The crap that we kind of slid in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, this isn't going to be your typical dissect every type of, like, this isn't a radio show.
No.
Thank God that both of us have kind of moved away from that. So this won't be designed to be some sort of radio show, which people are going to get their weekly fix of what Harry May's take is on the Philadelphia Eagles. You're not going to die. I mean, unless you want a great film.
We could go 45 minutes on that game.
Well, we go 45 minutes on Ricochet.
No, true.
I just wanted to stop it a little bit early.
We just did 7.
I could do that in my head. Sleep. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Yeah, you who can't get enough shifts. This is what I love about you. And I mean this in all due respect. Because I can't, I don't have that much to say.
Right.
But you can't find enough outlets to talk on.
You're right.
And you've got more to say.
You're right.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's a talent. It's a gift.
Somebody's going to appreciate that. And I mean more in like a relationship standpoint than anything else.
Right.
Like employer, you know, that comes and goes.
Sure.
But I think in life it gets me in trouble that I have so much to say. Too much to say. But you're right. That's why I pushed you on doing this show.
Yeah.
It's because I needed another outlet.
Yeah, I got you.
I needed another way in which we could talk about something.
I'm here for it.
And I don't care what we talk about. As long as I get you for 30, 45 minutes a week,
we're good.
I can talk to you about anything.
Right now we're in Conshohocken, and they're very diligent about the parking tickets in this town. So I've got a certain amount of time, and then I'm going to have to run out and, you know, fill the meter.
Well, hopefully we'll be done before that. Right?
I'm just saying, because they're
This might
They're
be
diligent around here.
One of the worst areas. Is that Parking Wars show still on?
No, I don't think it is. That's Philadelphia Parking Authority, though.
What happened?
I don't know. Maybe just people got tired of watching it.
Really?
I watched it for one episode.
And then it got taken off the air.
No, it was on for a while.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. Like, ultimately it got pulled?
I think it's no longer running fresh episodes, as they say.
I don't imagine that there's an area where parking isn't an issue. I remember just being in, it doesn't matter, Bryn Mawr to Doylestown to Willow Grove.
Phoenixville was bad.
I
used to live there. Yeah.
So I don't know where parking isn't an issue that show would be out of style.
Yeah, true. But I mean, you're campaigning against the potholes. I noticed that's one of your big things.
Well, did you see
Twitter.
What Domino's is doing?
At Shander Show, by the way, for
there
anybody that's not following.
Don't worry. I'm sure that's been up on the screen already.
Oh,
yeah. It's probably flashing right now. It's like the 800 number at the bottom of the infomercial.
Right.
Follow now. Follow now.
Or for my free picks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Not sure if you know this, right? Here's another free plug. But I'm doing some advice, right? I've ventured into the world of gambling advice.
Is that right?
Yes. So gambling.com is taking... Strategists,
I think would be the word.
Okay. They're taking people that know more than they know about gambling, more about what's going on. So overviews, themes, injuries, stuff that you and I can fake.
Okay.
It's easy stuff, right?
All right.
And giving some hits, basically 3 hits a week on, and they got me since I'm in AC, technically doing the show out of AC, even though it's like a lot of Southwest Jersey and Philly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of New York Giants and Jets fans. So I'm doing Jets-Giants at the moment.
Nice.
So I hit 3 for 3 on the Jets-Vikings game last week, this past Sunday.
That was a blowout.
Well, I mean, that was easy to call.
Yeah.
You know, I gave you the Vikings covering.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you the...
Was it 37-7 or something?
Yeah, it was easy.
Yeah.
I think it was 3.5, and they covered that easily.
Right.
I gave you the over 2.5 total touchdowns by the Vikings.
Okay.
That was easy.
Oh, you're doing props, too.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And I gave you the under total points for the Jets at 22.5.
Right.
So, bam. That's what I'm saying. Like, now there's legit advice that's coming with this trap that just keeps running.
That's awesome. Now, you care to give out a little tease for the Eagles-Jaguars next week in London?
No, I figured that you'd start and then I'd react.
Oh, okay.
You're closer to the full Godfather than I am.
Well, I'm closer to him, but that doesn't mean I'm closer to winning.
No, but I meant like as far as not physically closer in the realm of friendship. I meant more so as far as like closer in the world of expertise.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the
it's
day.
It's both.
It depends. That's week to week.
Well, I just listen. I'm 2 weeks into this thing and I got to hit one.
Yeah.
So
well, that's good.
Perfect.
You're off to a good start.
Would you like to open up the discussion on the tease for the Jags game in London?
Well, I mean, it is an early game. See, that's one of the things that, you know, gamblers, sometimes they go out a little too much Saturday night. Maybe they're staying up to watch Hawaii cover against some team out
west
to kind
football.
Of get some money back, and then they sleep in on a Sunday and they miss the start of the early game.
So you got to get 30
early.
You got to get in early.
You got to get up. You got to do your work.
Well, you think people are not putting bets in ahead of time and just sleeping through?
Well, some
can. Like fantasy football lineups, they're just.
Well, they can do that.
Yeah, just forget that.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying like a lot of times you'll catch people. I caught somebody this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Who had somebody in the Titans Chargers game.
All right.
But
must have forgotten
to play him.
It happens.
You go, woke up. You know, Corey Davis should have played him.
Yeah, despite what the NFL wants to, you know, everybody to believe, not everybody's dialed in on this whole London thing.
See,
only Jacksonville fans are because they've been over
home
there
game.
Every
right,
year.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. And I love that you brought this up because I'm with you And I think that it's a disruption. I think that it's forced. The NFL is a machine. If they wanted to and they had enough money and time, which they clearly do in
they're
London.
A $14 billion industry.
Yeah, they can infiltrate any part of the planet.
Right.
If they wanted to say, hey, you know, New Delhi, India is the next area in which we're really going to prop this game up.
Right.
They can spend the time. It's not going to fail.
Right.
Like, whatever they do, it's not going to fail. But I'm with you that there's this insistence every year to push this thing. Now we have multiple games in there. But, and this is why I say but, this is the problem that you, to a greater extent than me, face, because I think I could just be like, all right, screw it, whatever, is Philadelphia is going to ruin any chance of this thing being a fad.
Oh, you think this coming week the fan base is going to do something over there?
No. I'm saying not in a negative way.
Oh.
I meant like, the draft will never be the same because it was held here in Philadelphia and Dallas paled in
comparison. They are going to Nashville next year.
Which is
going to
be
pretty
sick,
good.
Right.
I mean, you have special knowledge of Nashville.
Absolutely. Yeah. And seeing how this show is called Derail, let's take you down there.
We could go there to Broadway, right?
I could tell you that Nashville is better equipped than a lot of people think about whether or not they can host something like the draft, a Super Bowl, something big. Mm-hmm. The city is compact enough. The stadium is close enough where everything is so interwoven. It's not like Indianapolis where you don't need to go outside so much and get around, but there's so many things right in Nashville, that downtown, like Broadway that you mentioned. Have you been there?
I've been there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm
telling you, but maybe the people out there.
No, the people need to go.
A lot of people did since they blew that lead in Nashville.
Right. What was that, week
Titans.
Three, somewhere around there?
I believe so, yeah, because week four was... No, I think it was week four. Week three was
four.
The Colts.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Week two was the Bucks.
Yeah.
But Nashville is beautiful, and I think that the draft itself, especially at that stadium, I don't even know. It was LP when I was there, but who knows what it is now. But that place is ridiculous. I saw this fanfare, this country music, humongous festival.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's one there every week.
I think, but this was
festivals.
Like the big one.
My God, they have award shows on national television every month.
Is it from there?
No, I don't know.
Is it from the Grand Ole Opry?
Vegas, too. They do a lot of Vegas.
Yeah. I'm saying this, though, was...
The Ryman Auditorium.
Is that
some
in...
some deep knowledge.
That is some deep knowledge. Do you have a Ryman that you can go to?
No.
Not Johnny Ryman, cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Out of Vanderbilt. From Nashville.
From Nashville. Yeah, we've totally derailed. I don't even know where we went to get to Nashville. And I knew this was going to happen because I moved off of an actual decent point. Oh, about Philadelphia and the draft. Not the draft, about London. But... just to wrap up, a nice little bow, if you will.
Well, that Philadelphia is going to ruin this, is
correct,
what you were saying.
Correct.
So what does that mean?
I think Nashville will be a close second, but it won't come close because nothing will, but it'll be a close second. Like, it'll be better than Dallas, L.A.,
Chicago they went to,
better than that because of this thing. And fanfare, I went in this Kenny Chesney concert.
Yeah, I've seen him a few times.
Well, everybody was there, right?
Yeah.
People I didn't even know. And I'm walking around, and it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like...
You're talking about the women now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been? I've only been to one. Have you ever been to a Dave Matthews concert?
Yeah, a few back in the 90s.
Okay, me too.
Yeah,
we're different age group. Not by much,
right.
But
yeah,
we're probably looking at the same women.
We were. Yes, I'm sure.
and
maybe through the same
lens,
if you will.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Everybody out there knows what you mean as well. So here's what's going to happen is you're going to get to this point of so many people are going to infiltrate London. Look at what happens on a day-to-day basis when every Sunday that the Eagles are on the road, you get a stadium that's taken over.
Like the Chargers last year.
Exactly.
That was, I mean, granted, that was a smaller soccer stadium, but they've done it in, I don't know that they did it in Seattle, but they've done it in Miami.
Well, Seattle stuff, they piped the noise in. And,
you know, they've done it in Miami. They've done it in Arizona when they go out there. They basically, New Orleans, they've taken over, you know.
You've seen it
they
all.
Travel.
Yeah. So what's – and we already know from StubHub that they've got a record number of tickets sold, and it's the most number one game in demand.
Is
and
that
it's,
right?
It's not just in demand because of overseas games because it's, you know, one of a couple. It's actually the most in-demand ticket across the board all season.
Interesting. I didn't know that. But I think they get 85,000 in Wembley Stadium.
Oh, well, what percentage do you think it's going to be –
I mean, what would you say? I'd say there's probably 35,000 Eagle fans there.
I think it's
too many.
No.
You think there'd be more?
All right, let's look at this, right? 85,000 capacity. It's going to be full.
Yeah.
Let's just knock off.
It was filled for the Titans and the Chargers.
That's what I'm saying, right. So let's knock off the whole locals. Mm-hmm. Like, how many locals? Here's the thing. Jay Ajayi, he's not playing.
He's not on the team anymore. Well, he is, but he's not playing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that could put a damper on the local audience. Like, if it were Jay Ajayi starting and toting the rock,
right,
then you'd see.
So you think, like, Jay Ajayi is like the American football LeBron James over in London, that people would. He's got this magnetism that people are just going to be coming out of the ground, out of the tubes.
Well,
you know, the subway system to go see Jay Ajayi.
Think about it.
I think it's a little overblown.
No. I think you're looking at it from the wrong way. Imagine if John Smith was from Philadelphia, worked his way up to play at Arsenal, right? And now he's a professional soccer player for Arsenal. Now, we don't know that he's a sub. To the extent in which, you know, he comes off the bench more times than he starts, and, you know, he's not very good statistically. But Ajayi, though, at the same time, like, was playing well.
Coming in the 88th minute.
Right, John Smith. Now, here's the thing. Even if the guy was a scrub and barely got on the field, we would show up, would we not?
I don't know.
If Arsenal came and played at, forget the link.
The link.
You know, if they played at your stadium, right?
What, my stadium? Temple Stadium?
Yeah, where they do the cherry and white game.
On campus. They do that at the practice of the football facility.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if they did it on campus at the facility, forget the link. If they came and played there, it would be an instant sellout just because of John Smith.
Yeah.
So my point is that they don't know any better.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be.
Right, so you're calling them kind of dumb. You know,
not dumb. I'm calling them patriotic. They root for their own.
Okay.
Wouldn't we root for?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So how could you be
provincial here?
You're sitting at the Great American Pub in Conshohocken with a camera on you, criticizing and chastising someone else for being loyal to a local.
That's true.
Jay Ajayi, he's a novelty act over there. The fact that he made it and came back. No, my
whole
point
is a secondary sport. I mean, it's not even a secondary sport.
Yeah, probably
it's
tertiary.
Tertiary.
Right? Is lacrosse?
That's probably the biggest word you're going to hear on the show today.
To be fair, it's a good word.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Is lacrosse bigger than American football?
Over there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Lacrosse is big on Long Island and Maryland.
That's it.
Upstate New York.
Patches. Yeah. Rome, New York.
CW Post.
You know Rome, it's big.
Right. Not Jim Rome.
Yeah, there was.
He's in the jungle.
That's right. That's on the West Coast.
Right.
But that's the difference. So forget Jay Ajayi. How much percentage do you think this whole show is going to be one topic and how we're going to struggle through one topic every time we're on the camera? It's going to be about Wembley and London, and it's going to take us another 25 minutes just to get through this thing. Yeah. So my point, though, is that you have to scratch out the local.
Hold on a second. Based on their performance in the fourth quarter, how many Eagle fans do you think are canceling their reservations from going over to London and spending good money after bad and to stay in a very expensive city, by the way?
How much do you think
cheap.
It costs?
I wouldn't even imagine because I never even looked into it.
No,
but, I mean, flights, hotels are expensive.
Right.
All get out. It's like going to New York
Tickets,
City
too.
Or
it's not like
San Francisco or something.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's not like you can go Harry Mays and get a media credential over at Wembley for Van Halen tour or some crap like that, right?
I would have liked to have seen the Live Aid there, though. That would have been good.
That's probably the best live concert you'll ever see, right?
I would think so.
If you combine groups, something
Mercury.
Like that.
Performed there with Queen and his movie, his biopic, is coming out next week.
I don't know if I can do this, man.
What?
I don't know if I can do these.
This podcast?
No. Well, that I figured you would say first before me. The odds are, like, we don't need Philly Godfather for that one. There are strong odds that you would walk out on this before me.
No, I think three shows and under is, like, minus 550 right now.
That's
on the
right.
Board.
Bovada's got it up there. You don't even have to go down to the books. You just go online put money, that's hard-earned money right there, easy money.
That's how I'm going to get paid for doing this, is bet against myself doing more than three shows.
No. My whole point is that I don't know if I could continue to do these fake, based on the real story biopics. Like, we have the technology now where that movie should be all real footage. It should be all real. And you know what? Whoever wrote, didn't the manager write the book? I'm not sure. Okay, there's a band.
Bohemian Rhapsody is the name of the
correct.
Flick.
No, I know exactly. I just saw the preview yesterday. And here's my point. Like, it's not going to be a bad movie. I'm not anti the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can personally sit through these movies where it's biopics based, because then they can take liberty and freedoms.
Yeah.
And
but don't they do that with everything?
Yeah, but my point, though, is that if it's all raw footage, yeah, and somebody close, maybe somebody in the band, somebody's alive still, right?
Yeah.
Somebody in the band, I think the manager or somebody wrote a book. I'm not positive. This is where on radio we would have, you know, the keyboards.
Well, yeah, we'd be able
be
to look
cheating
things up, yeah.
But I think that's the difference, is you have all raw footage with somebody that's there or close or
chronicling basically
exactly
the band. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be James Earl Jones.
No, they always had a photographer with them.
Right.
Like, there's famous right photographers that like spent like their lives with the Rolling Stones from 68 to 74 or whatever and chronicled everything that they ever did. You're
absolutely
talking about that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good point.
No, but and that's what I'm saying is, if you can do that, and if you can have all raw footage, then it becomes real. And it doesn't have to be Mark Wahlberg dressed up in a wig.
Yeah.
You know,
that was the movie Rockstar, right?
Who is that based on?
I don't know. I don't know if that was based on anybody.
Not Rockstar, the video game maker. You have no idea.
Or the energy drink, right?
That's true. Look at you.
Yeah.
I always thought it was the same. Like, the same company made the two. Maybe they do. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But as far as Rockstar, who was that based on?
I don't know if it was based on anybody.
Was it just some sort of fan?
Is where we need Twitter. Because remember, we'd do shows and we'd be wondering aloud.
Yeah.
Which is basically, it was our whole show.
Well, you've
4 hours of wondering aloud.
You've changed your handle. You should throw, I'm at Shander Show. We all know that. You've
right
changed your handle.
Yeah, it's at Harry Mays TU.
TU. No underscores.
No. It's all
good. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we'd wonder
we'll
aloud.
We'll solicit questions.
And then people on Twitter would answer us and say, you dopes, it was this guy,
right,
or it's based on this band.
That was the best part about taking phone calls.
I know.
Was that people would be right back. I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to say it with you on the air here, on the air, on whatever platform we're on here, because I've experienced something new, and it's opened my eyes to something we're doing here, and I think that there's a combination of it. But I don't want to come off ungrateful or negative or the fact that this was a bad thing, because I did enjoy it, and I think that there are people that you and I both collectively and individually connected with,
mm-hmm,
when it came to callers, people,
yeah,
that just called and they didn't tweet. And I know not everybody's on social media, and I get it. A text line, though, if you have a cell phone, you have a text board, and I think there's a way around that. But there is something personal with it. But then again, you're always told, and here I am derailing myself, you're always told, you know, never to have the personal back and forth on the line, just to get in, just to get out. And that's every program director. That's just not one or two. So even that personal reaction, interaction is taken away. So I don't know how to say this without saying this, but
just spit it out.
I hate phone calls.
You did.
And no, now looking back, I feel like I hate calls now. And here's why. Because the combination of the new age podcasting digital shows,
mm-hmm,
that are mostly, if not all, one way, we're talking directly to a camera ourselves.
Right.
We'll have tweets next week and stuff that we can break down, but it's all this. And that's it. It's not interactive. Like, we're not soliciting tweets as we do it.
Right.
So the myth, and I think a lot of people are so beholden to technology, the myth is that attention spans,
mm-hmm,
they move, attention spans are so fast. But 18, 19 year old kids, boys and girls, kids are sitting through 60 minute pod serial,
mm-hmm,
60 minute podcast, 90 minute podcast, audio, not even digital, to stimulate their brain.
They're staying up all night playing 6 hour games of Fortnite.
Well, that's a little bit more interactive. But my point, though, is that you get people, that young people, you're right, though, the video game element to it is huge. So there's something that kind of flies in the face of short attention span, because they can play Fortnite for 6 hours,
right?
I got this Assassin's Creed game. I haven't,
mm-hmm,
put it down in the last, like, 2 days. So I get the whole binge thing of it. But my point in this is that if you look at doing a radio show or a podcast or a TV show, 30-minute, just look at 30 minutes,
mm-hmm,
and this new channel that I'm on, that, you know, this show will be on, we have this long, like we did at the Fanatic, these long 23, 25-minute segment. And on the show that I'm on now, it's three people talking for 25 minutes. That's a podcast.
Yeah.
So it's one podcast each hour.
Okay.
And again, I don't know how to have this conversation without it coming off negative, but there's nobody derailing it. There's no waiting 4 seconds for the guy to get his phone. There's nobody going through the drive-thru.
Right, right.
And you know me.
On the speakerphone.
Absolutely.
The Bluetooth. Oh, you know, whatever it is. Yeah.
All I ask for is flow and momentum.
I know.
That's it.
As you much know how it used to annoy me.
Well, that's what I mean.
Some of the greatest
I'm appealing
drops,
to you.
Some of the greatest drops that I ever created were my reactions to stuff like you just mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were beautiful. Genius drops. And they were all pure raw emotion. Because nobody got their crap together on the other side. Mm-hmm. Tighten it up to, you know, all the other things. Although you probably yelled at a producer, I think, on that. But it was all phone related.
Yeah, that was a producer.
And that's my whole point in this, is that I just look at conversation that flows and young people who everybody wants. That's mm-hmm. the golden goose, if you will, of yeah. the audience, is so locked into stuff that you don't need this constant repetition.
Yeah. This podcast right here is like an Aaron Sorkin show. There's so much dialogue in this podcast, I can't get over this. It breaks.
It's like The Wire.
Right.
It's written specifically for people.
Right.
It's like somebody just sat on the other side of this camera and mm-hmm. wrote it for us specifically.
Right. Now, I'm trying not to look at the camera. I'm trying to, you know, to sort of focus
yeah, that's,
on
that's
you.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're supposed
it's
to do.
It's kind of what you're supposed to do, right? They always yeah. tell, the porn chicks to never look at the camera.
Well, that's your world.
So, I'm kind of trying not to do that. But
I wanted to get a third person in here,
yeah.
a local celebrity / porn star.
Oh, yeah?
But you shot that down.
Well, we can't do that in the first episode.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Don't we build to that?
Probably. Episode two? Yeah. We should probably build. I'm sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying not to look at the camera, but this is being filmed. Like, this whole sort of vehicle thing, to me, is kind of amazing. I'm an older school guy.
Yeah.
Like, you say, yeah, let's just go to the pub. I'll hook up my laptop to this new camera, and we'll do a show. But that, to me, is just unbelievable.
Right.
It used to be where you'd have to go rent studio time, or you'd have to go have a buddy that would sneak you in at night, you know, when the radio station or the TV station is kind of on the, you know, on sleep mode,
right.
You know, and let you in, and yeah. you get in that studio, and when you're done, you know, just sneak out the back door.
No, I used to do that in Atlantic City when I first started, like 14 years ago.
Right. You don't have to do that anymore.
No.
You can come to a real establishment that is okay with you being here.
That's it.
It's not like we have to wash dishes
in order
to do this.
I might.
You might. That's
yeah.
true. Yeah.
When we leave, it's probably one of those things where it's like Chef Mike here, who mm-hmm. runs the kitchen at the Great American Pub, is going to say, all right,
guys.
Big
Eagle fan, by the way.
Yeah.
Chef
I mean,
Mike. He's devastated right now.
They all are here,
yeah.
but Mike,
yeah.
definitely devastated. And Mike has a way in which, as he was telling us, he's coaching or watching
soccer, right?
His girls' team. I forget if he's coaching or watching. He's probably going to kill us right now because he spent 10 minutes telling the story. But he's there, being
yeah.
the great dad that he is.
During the Eagle game.
Exactly. So he's got the game on DVR.
Mm-hmm.
And this is magnificent. I don't know how you can do this in today's day and age, and go, especially for something you care about.
Right.
Because if you care about something so much as Mike and you and me, and we all care
right.
about the Eagles, people around us care about that
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
So how do
people
you go?
People are texting you all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, did you just see that play? Do you believe that?
And you have
oh,
to, right.
And you're like, oh, something bad happened.
Can you turn your phone off? I mean, you probably turn it off now much more since
oh, I
you've
do.
Stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
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 But I think if you have, you know, you have a kid, you know,
yeah.
family, I mean, you don't give a crap.
Yeah. No.
Wife doesn't hear it from you, she's probably happy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good day.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So Mike, like 98% of the rest of the population, of course, has people that if he probably needs to hear, and we get so held up on the luxuries of technology that, you know, when we were growing up, you didn't have that.
No.
So you didn't have a way.
You didn't have a way of
out.
Missing it either.
No.
Because you didn't know it existed.
Exactly.
It was like, it was no big deal.
Well, ignorance was bliss.
Yeah, it was.
Now you
it
think,
was.
Oh my God, I can't turn my phone off because I'm going to miss a tweet. I'm going to miss a text.
Right.
I'm going to miss a voicemail. So anyway, the point is that he went hours without getting told, and then he sits home and he gets
and he
to
watched
see that
it.
Crap
yeah.
at the end. That's
three great quarters and the final quarter. I mean, it's unbelievable. The Eagles, let's get it back to the Eagles, by the way, but the Eagles are one of
we
only,
can get Rob. He's not too far, right?
No, he's not. I actually saw him the other day. He's doing well. He asked about you, too.
Well, I texted him back and forth, too. Thanks, Rob.
The Eagles are only one of four teams in the Super Bowl era. So we're talking 52-53 seasons now.
Yeah.
That have been up at least 17 points. To lose the game in the fourth quarter, going to the fourth quarter, up at least 17 to lose the game at home. One of four Wow. In now, what, there's 52 Super Bowls, so we're in year 53.
Now, I'm going to guess that of those four teams, they're the only team to blow that lead twice in the same year. Because they did it again earlier in Nashville, but that was on the
road.
That's
on the road, though. See, that doesn't...
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if, to make matters even worse, one of four teams to do... Who do you even know the last team?
I didn't look up the other teams, but, I mean, when they had the 17-0 lead into the fourth quarter, Doug Peterson called one running play.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And they were, again, they're running the football one.
Right. One.
Third and two.
And how many fourth downs does this team surrender as a defense this season? Tennessee did it to them like a fourth and 15 or whatever it was. And, you know, they converted a couple yesterday. It's just unbelievable.
Well, and that's the thing. I think people want to point and say, all right, something's got to change drastically. Something needs to happen. And I'm not here for silver lining crap by any means, but the three, I can't ignore. I'm pissed off like you are. That's a terrible way to lose.
That's an awful loss, yeah.
But you can't ignore those three quarters. Mm-hmm. They dominated Carolina. Dominated. I mean, they held him down like a big brother. He used to pin mm-hmm. the little brother down and slap him in the face.
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
No.
For three quarters, that team was paralyzed. Cam Newton's top, one of his top three plays for three quarters was a lead block.
Right. That's right.
I mean, that was it.
Where Darby avoided him.
Again,
yeah.
But to be fair, I'd avoid Cam Newton.
Well, I would too. I
mean, unless I'm a lineman. But
I don't know.
Although Jordan Hicks got him.
Yeah.
No, Darby, you're just not going to get anything physical out of Darby, man. I don't think.
It's like Terrence Trent Darby.
Yes. Isn't there another Darby?
I'm sure there is. There's Upper Darby.
Well, yeah. You know, I was going
to
say.
We might have to do the show there one of
these days. At this point, yeah, they keep hearing us say, not Upper Darby. But that's the thing. I don't know. I can't overreact.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're 3-4.
Now, the reason you're not overreacting is the division is not very good.
Yeah, and I hate relying on the division.
I know, but I think that's what imagine it is. Imagine if the Cowboys or the Giants or the Redskins were all of a sudden 6-1. I think we'd be singing a different tune.
Now, what tune would we be singing? Let's jump that. Because they're going to lose another game most likely before they win two or three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Although they have Jacksonville, and this whole thing started again with Jacksonville.
Well, the Carolina loss and the Minnesota loss are really bad because they're in conference.
Correct.
And if you're going to grab a wild card,
that's
really tough to do.
You have to win this division.
Yeah.
At 3-4 right now,
yeah.
You have to win the division.
I totally agree. Yeah.
But you feel good because of the crap around.
I don't feel good, but I don't feel as bad as I would were it not for, you know, one of the other three teams.
Being
a juggernaut.
Yeah, you know, Dallas. I mean, Dallas trades for Amari Cooper.
Today,
that doesn't do anything for you.
For a first-round pick.
Eagles, I don't know at that point. Amari Cooper.
First round. I know he was a first-round pick, but
right.
He hasn't been playing up to
no.
that capability at all.
No. They are collecting over there.
Gruden's collecting first-round picks. I know he's getting a lot of grief right now for who he's traded in Khalil Mack. But I think he got two for him, right?
Yes.
And then they've got their own, and then they've got Dallas's. So that's
correct.
Four. I guess the Bears picks are over
two or
three drafts.
One draft.
Right. So, I mean, he's assembling first-round picks.
It's
see
insane.
If he makes the right choices.
But if you look on the other end, he's not a guy that scares you isolated. But he helps.
Yeah.
And his team. But it goes back to, as we were saying, with third down and the fourth quarter. It's not. See, people on Twitter, you know, tell Howie to get a running back. They need a running. They don't. Josh Adams was running the football well.
Yeah.
Everybody was running the ball well. This is.
But Doug has no confidence in those guys in the fourth quarter.
Why?
That's pretty obvious.
Why?
I don't know why.
Wendell Smallwood has changed everybody's mind in the Delaware Valley.
Well.
He hasn't
changed Carson Wentz's mind because he was one of two players that was wide open on that third and two, I believe it was, where he tried to force it into Alshon into the end zone into double coverage. You had Aguilar on the right and Smallwood on the left, I believe is what it was, and both would have gotten easy first downs, maybe gotten to the end zone.
Now, why isn't that on Carson Wentz?
Well, some of it has to be.
Well, it's all pride there, right?
Because he's forcing a ball into double coverage.
That's a Brett Favre throw.
It is.
That's a Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Only I can make that throw, and I'm going to throw that sucker in there. And it didn't get picked off, but you're right. When you have other guys wide open, and it's not like I'll go back and think, all right, maybe he should have called a running play at third down because this is a guy who's been going for it at fourth down since he came in the league. And third and two, the way they've been running the football, my goodness, you can't get that. I mean, they've been averaging double that. So, all right, you want to throw the football, put the ball in the best hands of your best guy, cool, Carson Wentz. But my goodness, you're right. Two guys open.
Two guys.
On a short yardage play.
Right. And the other thing is the kicker missed another field goal. I know it was windy.
Yeah,
I get
really
it.
Windy.
You're a pro kicker, and I think it was a 40 some odd yard attempt. Missed it badly. And it's not his first miss of the season. He's had a couple.
No.
He's starting to look a little shaky. So
what do you think? Was that a worse loss than the Jaguars and the Ravens? Jaguars lost pretty bad at home.
Yeah, they're just not a good football team right now. They don't have Fournette. They don't trust their quarterback. He stinks. In fact, he was benched in this game.
Yeah,
the defense is starting to squabble with the offense now. You've got infighting.
Perfect
we love
right
it.
Now.
We love
perfect
it. This is the perfect time to play that.
Perfect timing.
But I would say, boy, that Ravens loss was awful.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, think about this. The Eagles are, and if you just look at, oh, you blew a 17-point lead. That happens in the NFL. Okay. You blew a 17-point lead at home. You're the defending Super Bowl champions. More on that, because I think we need to put a moratorium on calling this team the defending Super Bowl champions. Like, we need to go Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh, yeah?
And just remember. Yeah, it's bothering me the way in which this team has lost two of their four games by surrendering a 17-point lead. But real quick, all I was saying is that factor in, on one side, you really do have the 17-point loss, 1-4 teams in the Super Bowl era. This Eagles team, the way in which, it's not like they were up 34-17, and the Panthers were doing a couple. Like, the Panthers were being suffocated.
Yeah,
they
I think the Eagles' loss is worse.
Then Tucker, that's
missed
the
an extra point.
That's the first extra point he's ever missed.
He's been really, really good his entire
he's
career.
He's the most accurate percentage kicker ever.
Yeah,
right?
And I like the fact that he took the podium. He normally would not speak to the media via the podium. He wanted to speak to the media on the podium to take ownership of the loss.
Now, do you think it's a
pretty nice move?
It's a pretty nice move for us. Do you think anybody in the locker room cared?
I don't know. Yeah, who knows? He's still a kicker. That's what I'm saying.
It's like, do you think it eases any? Like, what's that stuff you can put on itches to kind of alleviate
the burn? Calamine lotion?
No, it's like a stick.
Cortisone?
Maybe cortisone.
Cortisol,
is in it.
Something like that.
It's a stick. You know that stick, that clear stick that you rub on your hand?
The cream and the clear?
No, it's not cream or. It's like this stick, you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
But whatever it is, you know, it kind of alleviates it.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just sit there in this loop trying to figure this thing out. You don't watch Westworld, do you?
No, but you've told me that it was pretty good. Were there two seasons? Yeah, I haven't seen any of it.
It's
Ed Harris is in that.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's worth a watch. It's not bad.
Don't worry. That guy's just complaining that the baseball games start too late.
I'm sure.
Still just doing that rant.
I'm sure.
Guy's been in the business for 30-some years.
God bless him. You go in, you go out. It's the same thing.
It's the greatest.
It's the same thing. So if there's one show that I could get you to watch, I'm trying to think what it would be. I think it would be Black Mirror. You really should watch Black Mirror. Yeah. You really should.
Hmm.
It messes with your mind.
What about that iRobot thing? Weren't you into that?
iRobot?
Was it
the movie?
Or was it a movie?
With Will Smith?
No. Then I'm not. No. The guy.
Oh,
Remy
Mr.
Malek.
Robot.
Remy Malek.
Yeah, Mr. Robot.
Right? Do I have his name right?
Yeah.
You
still haven't seen that show? I thought you've watched it.
No.
My goodness, man. What are you doing? I'll give you that. I'll give you Mr. Robot. I'll give you this. Who's I'll give you?
Not iRobot.
No. I'm thinking Will Smith. You're like, you haven't seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen that either.
We go from Ricochet to Will Smith.
To Bohemian Rhapsody.
What's your top four?
What's your Mount Rushmore of Will Smith movies?
610. Let me ask you a question. Do you think anybody that's at least taking that question seriously, do you think anybody would put Wild Wild West in the top? Do you think that isn't even an argument
Absolutely.
That anybody would make?
No, that no shot.
You know, I really loved Men in Black.
Yeah, unless it's a guy who's trying to
Bad
be
Boys.
Like that sports writer that won't unanimously put so and so Derek Jeter into the Hall of Fame.
Remember
the
guy
first
who is it? Gary Washburn in
I forget,
Boston.
There was
who
one
voted
guy.
For somebody other than LeBron James that one year where he was near unanimous.
Yeah.
He voted for, like, Carmelo Anthony.
There's that guy.
So that's the...
Maybe he puts Wild Wild West.
The Carmelo Anthony of Mount Rushmore voters for Will Smith movies.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. I'm just speaking to the NBA. Yeah. How about the fight the other night? ESPN's going to be talking about it for the next 17 days.
It's golden. I'm doing a national show, two national shows this week. I'm going to squeeze at least 3 seconds.
I mean, now
we
have another Magic Loogie right out of the Seinfeld episode.
Now, did you see anything?
Because with Rondo.
Well, sometimes you inadvertently spit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, right? Do you ever work with somebody like that?
What, that spat while they into the microphone?
Or just
not on me.
Well, not necessarily. Because the studio, you're so far apart.
Yeah.
But
I've noticed mic screens, like when I come to take over a shift, and I'm not calling anybody out, but there would be like some debris on there. Or
Mike Missinelli?
No.
Oh.
No, mic screens.
Oh.
The mic screen.
No. I'm like, wait a second. When you were doing Maze to Midnight, maybe you snuck
it
earlier?
Well, see, it's the whole day then. Maybe you got another, what, 12
That thing is like a
trash
program. Receptacle.
I know.
Right there.
I know.
I'm just curious if you ever worked with anybody that inadvertently spat.
I can't remember that.
Somebody that would get so close that when they talk, a lot of times when you get hyper, too. See, that's another thing is I don't know enough of the history of Rondo and...
Well, there is history.
No, but I'm
those
saying...
guys going back to 09. They don't like each other.
Correct. Not between them. I know that. I'm just saying as far as are either one of those guys inadvertent spitters.
Oh, that I do not know.
That's a huge key.
All I know
is
Chris Paul's a dirty player.
Yeah.
He always has been.
Head of the union, too. That's
and Rondo's a wackadoo.
But he gets so much respect.
I think he's great. I thought he's had a great career.
Right.
But he's a wacko.
People love him in the NBA, like veterans in the NBA. He is bizarre. You ever see this whole free throw regimen, that thing that he does?
No.
Okay, so.
It's just like Hornacek. Remember Hornacek's free throw routine? Yeah, where he'd give messages to his kids by putting his hands certain parts on
Mr.
his face.
Mr. Robot?
Yeah.
A little hack.
Yeah.
It's sent in his way. No, it's not that. Rondo, I'll show you this when we're done. We'll put it up here for editing purposes as well. But Rondo just walks around and interferes. So a guy hits a shot, the ref has the ball, and he'll pass it back to the player, and Rondo will jump in and touch the ball. Or like Rondo will grab the ball as soon as it hits the rim.
That's like a Lance Stephenson type.
Yeah. Like
who's
rub
also
his sweat on it.
On the Lakers, right?
Well, Lance Stephenson was the voice of reason.
Oh, really?
You didn't see that? He broke the fight up.
Then you know you've got an issue.
He broke the fight up.
Yeah, wow. Ingram comes in with a haymaker from
20
feet away.
You can't sucker punch a guy like that.
Yeah, but I love the fights in the NBA.
Well, they're not real fights, though.
No, I know, but
they're like scraps.
Now, do you go back far enough? I don't know that
Tom Jonovich?
Yes. I saw it. Unbelievable.
Live?
I don't know that it was live. I don't know if the game was, if I was watching a replay of it like shortly thereafter or if it was live, but it was Kermit Washington.
Okay, yeah.
I believe was the guy who did it. Yeah,
and,
it was unbelievable.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a reactionary punch. It wasn't, wasn't Tom Jonovich trying to pull him off?
I don't really.
And he turned around and clocked him?
He crushed him. I mean,
it was lights out.
Yeah. And did you ever see the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar one?
No, I don't
Kareem,
think
when it was Kareem was playing for the Lakers, I think it might have been Kent Benson.
Oh,
with
okay.
Bucks or something.
Okay.
I mean, he got kneed in the, abdomen or something.
And he came
back there going like this.
I
and
remember
he just
that.
Turns around and just clocks.
Can you imagine taking a hit like
from
that?
From a 7'2" guy?
Well, you'd have to be 7'2" just to withstand that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us.
Wow.
So
we went down. So how many rabbit holes did we go down to that?
That's why the show is called Derailed, man.
Yeah.
So do you want to give any type of prediction here? People are missing you, not me as much, but...
What, for the Eagles?
Yeah. The next time we talk, it'll be after London. It'll be heading into a bye week.
Yeah.
We might as well go and give people what they want.
Yeah, I think 3.5 tells me that the Eagles are to play. This is the perfect time to take on the Jaguars. They're offensively challenged. They won't have Fournette. And their defense is in sort of disarray right now because they're realizing they're not as good as they were built to be after that great win against New England. Everything has gone south. And I think this might be sort of a good time for the Eagles to get out of Philadelphia a few days early, get over to London, get their, sort of their, the circle the wagons, if you will, and win a game away from home with some good home support over there and come back at a 4-4 football team.
They need that for the bye. So what does it end? Are you in the score? Do you get scores?
They're usually low scoring over there. There's not,
and the Eagles are low scoring too.
Yeah, the Eagles are typically an under team under Doug Peterson at the link. Like, I think yesterday that went under too. 16 of the 22 games that they played at the link under Doug Peterson have gone under.
Wow.
That's a significant statistic.
That is.
Now, of course, this is at Wembley, but I would still say it's going to be somewhere around maybe like a 20-6, 20-7 type score.
The defense is playing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're hovering around 20, 21 points a game.
Right.
Still.
Points-wise, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you're holding teams low. The offense, I could see something like a 2017 Eagles win.
Mm.
But I agree that while you have them covering, they may not cover. But I still think that there are so many things working against Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing is the infighting. That's one thing that we haven't heard yet.
From the Eagles.
Correct.
Right.
And that's, I think, the biggest thing that you rely on from last year is you don't fall into that. You circle the wagons.
Right.
Oh, somebody's ripping Jalen Mills? No, we all got his back. Somebody's ripping Ronald Darby? No, we all got his back. Oh, you want to even criticize Carson Wentz or Zach Ertz? That's cool. We all got – that's not happening in Jacksonville. And just like Philadelphia, they have to go over there. Yeah, they're used to it, but still it's a pain in the ass. So I think that the Eagles – I'd say 2017.
And then they have the bye after that.
Well, then we'll have some fun.
Yeah.
Then we'll bring it a porn star.
There you go.
All right. It's been derailed. That's Harry Mays at Harry Mays TU.
Yeah.
At Shander Show. We'll see you next week.